The passage that we're going to have a look at this morning is from Malachi chapter 2. Malachi is the very last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 2, and I'll just read it, but I am going to need some help in a minute from some of the boys and girls. So you can bring your sheets down if you want to the front during me reading this, and then we'll go for it. So Malachi chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "And now, O priests, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abased before all people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction." So, boys and girls at the back, I really need your help this morning, not just for you guys to learn, but to help all of the adults learn as well. And if some of you want to come down, that would be really good. And as you're coming down, if you could answer, think of an answer to this question. It's the middle of August, nearly. You've got maybe, 3 weeks left before you've got to go to school? I want you to think, are you ready to go back to school? Do you want to go back to school already? Are you fed up with your holidays? Are you ready for it? And I'll take a seat, actually. Great. So, hands up then. Who wants to go back to school tomorrow? Wow, we got one person who wants to go back to school. Oh, wow, you all want to go back to school. Fed up already. Now, what do you think the answer to that question would be if I asked your parents the same question? Do you think they're ready for you to go back to school yet? I'm not seeing any hands go up, but I imagine that the answer might be different in a couple of weeks' time. But anyway, when I was at school, do you know what my favorite time was? Do you want to flick on to the next one, Sam? It was when this was rolled into the classroom. And it didn't matter what was going to be shown on TV. It was just the fact that we were watching TV at school. We thought this was really cool. And we loved it. And we'd all be like this here. I don't know if you do the same thing, but whenever we said yes, we'd like emphasize the S. So it'd be like this. You'd be like, yes! Like that. And everyone in the whole class would do that as they saw the TV rolled in. And do you know what? Towards the end of term, so it's usually around Christmas or in June or something like that. When the TV got rolled in, it was even more exciting because sometimes you got to watch a movie that you'd brought in. In fact, I remember when I was 11 at school, the TV got rolled in, and in one week, we watched all three of the Star Wars films over the course of the week, and it was amazing. There were only three then. I think there's six now, but there was only three back then. But imagine for a minute, what would you say if you went to school in September on the first day and your teacher said to you, "Do you know what? I don't know if I really want to teach you guys today. I think what we'll do is I'll bring the TV in and we'll just watch TV all day." Would you be happy if that happened? You would be happy. It's good, good to see we've got some honest children in our church. Okay, what about if you went in on the first day of school and your teacher said, "Do you know what, for the first month, I can't really be bothered teaching you. We're just going to watch TV every day. You can watch what you like. What do you think of that? Would you be happy then? You would be. Okay. What about if you went in on the first day and the teacher said, you know what? I'm quite tired. I've been tired for a few years now. I think what I'm just going to do at school is I'm going to sleep all day for a whole year. And you guys can just watch whatever you like on TV. Do you think you'd be happy if that happened? Well, let me ask you another question. Do you think if you came home and you told your parents that you were going to watch TV all day at school and you could watch whatever you like for a whole year, do you think they'd be happy? No, they wouldn't be happy, would they? In fact, they'd probably be quite angry, wouldn't they? And they'd be angry because the teacher isn't doing their job properly, because that's why you go to school, isn't it? You go to learn, to be taught by your teacher. And if that's not happening, well, your teacher's not doing their job properly. And over the summer, we're looking at this book, and I read from it a minute ago in Malachi, and we talked about the last time and that the priests weren't doing their jobs properly, because what they were doing is they were offering sacrifices which weren't good because the animals were unclean. But in our passage today, we see that there is another problem. I'm going to read verse 7. Says, "For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." So the priest's job, as well as doing these sacrifices, was to be a teacher. They were supposed to teach God's law, the things that God wanted people to do. But the priests in Malachi's time weren't doing that properly. We read this at the very end, that they were showing partiality in their instruction. Now, what's your favorite subject at school? Anyone? Favorite subject? You like to play outside. Okay. What about any other favorite subjects? Literacy. Oh, right. Very good. Anyone else? Yeah? ICT. Right. Okay. Well, imagine you went into school on your first day and your teacher said, well, my favorite subject is French, right? And all that we're going to learn at school for the whole year is French. Do you think that would be good? No. And maybe some of us would dislike that more than others if we had to learn French for a whole year. But that's kind of what the priests were doing. They were just deciding what they wanted to teach. They weren't teaching the whole of what God said was good. They were just teaching the bits that they liked and ignoring the rest. And do you know what happened? This meant, and this is what it says in verse 8, that because they did this, they caused many to stumble. So not only were they not doing what God wanted them to do, but also because they weren't teaching all the things that God wanted, they were leading other people astray as well. And they were struggling, or they were doing the wrong things as well. Now, can anyone guess how God felt about that? What do you think? Do you think God would have been happy? No. You think he would have been sad? Do you think he might have been angry as well? Yeah, he'd be angry a little bit like your parents would be if you didn't learn anything for a whole year at school. But actually, God would be even more angry than that, because, you know, your parents would be right to be angry, because your education is really important. It helps you for the rest of your life. But the things that God teaches in his law are important not just for now, but forever. So God is right to be angry, and he disciplines the priests because of this. Now, hands up if you've ever been naughty in your entire life. Anyone? It's good to see some of the adults have been naughty as well and are honest. Well, I was naughty whenever I was a little boy as well. Sometimes, not very often. I was quite a good little boy, but I was naughty sometimes. And when I was naughty, right, and I was naughty in front of my mum, this is what she said. I'll try and impersonate her accent as well. She went, "Stephen David James Murr, do you want to go to the wooden spoon drawer?" You can put up the wooden spoon, yeah. So, the wooden spoon drawer. And do you know what this did when this happened? Me and my brother would be like this. We'd be like, be terrified. Well, sometimes we would be. Other times, we'd be so caught up in being naughty that that we'd continue to be naughty. And do you know what happened then? We had to go to the wooden spoon drawer to pick up the implement of doom from the drawer. And my mum would give us a short, swift smack on the backside for it. Now, do you think my mum did that because she hated me? No, she didn't do it because she hated me. Do you think my mum did that because she wanted to cause me pain? No, she did not. She didn't want to cause me pain. My mum did it actually because she loved me and because she wanted me to learn from my mistakes. And that's exactly the same reason why God is disciplining the priests. And the first thing that God does is he warns the priests. He says, this is verse 2, if you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send a curse upon you. And I will curse your blessings. Now, does anyone know what this is? And I'm being really careful not to drop it, because I'll get in a lot of trouble if I lose it. Do you know what this is? It's a ring. Do you know what type of ring it is? Anyone? It's a wedding ring. That's very good. This wedding ring symbolizes, I better put it back on. This wedding ring symbolizes a particular blessing in my life, because about almost 6 months ago, I got married to Claire. And with this blessing came some responsibilities as well. So whenever I, just before I put the ring on, I made these promises that I would love Claire and I would cherish her and I would serve her and love her when she's sick and all these sorts of things as well. So with blessing comes responsibility. And the priests had a particular blessing as well. They were called mediators, which is a really big word, but it just means a go-between. So I don't know if you still do this, but whenever I was little, the teacher would say, I need someone to go and do a message for me. Do they still do that? Probably not. But anyway, and everyone would be like, I want to do the message, because it meant you could leave class for like 10 minutes. So we'd put up our hand, and if you took the message from one teacher to another teacher, then you are a mediator of that message. It just means going between two people. So the priests, they went between God and Israel. And that was a big blessing. It was a big responsibility as well. And they didn't take it seriously. And so God says he would change this blessing into a curse. And the curse, he tells us, he says it's as if he would put poo on their faces. Now, that's disgusting, isn't it? You just imagine, and I'm so glad that this is not true, but just imagine for a minute that I had poo all over my face. Now, what would you do? Would you still be sitting here if I had poo all over my face? No, I don't think you would be. I think you would be running away. Do you think you might even point at me and laugh at me if I had poo in my face? You wouldn't treat me with respect, would you? You'd be like, why has he got poo in his face? That's really strange. But what God says in the passage right at the end is that he is going to make them despised and abased. That means he's going to make them hated by other people. So it'll be as if they had poo on their face. That's how the rest of Israel will treat them, because they've gone astray from what God wanted them to do. But just like my mum didn't discipline me because she wanted to hurt me, or because she hated me or something like that, God does this because he wants these priests to see that they've gone wrong and come back to him and do their job properly again. And then, so God tells them what they're doing wrong, and then he tells them what he's going to do if they don't change their ways. But he doesn't just do that. He then tells them what it looks like to be a priest, how to do their job properly. And he points to this guy called Levi, who was one of the fathers of one of the tribes of Israel. And he points him out as the model priest. And he says four things about him in verse 5. The first thing he says is that he feared God. Now, maybe some of you guys, is anyone scared of the dark? A wee bit scared of the dark. I used to be scared of the dark whenever I was little. And I used to, if I needed to go to the bathroom during the night, the toilet light would be on, but it would be dark everywhere else. And I would get out of my bed, I would sprint to the toilet, and then I would sprint back. again as well and get into the cupboard because I was scared. And fear is quite a negative thing usually, but whenever the Bible talks about fear of God, it doesn't mean it in a negative way. It just means recognizing and understanding that God is massive, he's huge, he's amazing, and then actually treating him like that. So treating him with respect that he deserves. And that for Levi meant being obedient to his word. And the second thing that Levi did was he taught truth as well. So he taught what was right. In fact, it says here that so much truth did he teach that he didn't tell any lies at all about what God's word said. And then it says that he walked with God. Now, this doesn't mean that he, you know, walked with God like the guys who are going to walk around talking tarn tonight or this afternoon. It means that they had a really close relationship with God. So they were really, like even better than being best friends. They were really, really close to each other. And the last thing it says is that he turned many from iniquity. Now, iniquity is a big word again, but it means not doing what God wants, but it also means doing the things that God doesn't want. So not doing what God wants or doing the things that God doesn't want. And so he taught people, because he taught them all of the word of God, they understood how to live and lived lives that were better. And Levi is a really good example of a priest and what he should look like, but he isn't perfect. But there is, and the guys that Malachi was writing to didn't know about this priest, but there is a priest who is even better than this. And do you know why he was better? He was better because he was perfect. Does anyone have any idea who that perfect priest might have been? It's quite a hard question. Jesus, that's right. It was. Jesus is even better than that, because not only did he fear God, but he was completely obedient to him. He even died because God wanted him to die for us. And Jesus didn't just teach truth. Jesus, the Bible tells us, is truth. He is the message. And he didn't just walk with God. He actually was God. And he didn't just turn people away from iniquity because of what he taught. He turned people away from iniquity because he died on a cross so that all those bad things that we've done would be removed from us, taken away from us. And that is something which is for all of us. Any of us can have this. All we need to do is go to God and say, God, I'm really sorry for all those things that I did that you didn't want me to do. I'm really sorry for all those things that I didn't do that you wanted me to do. I realize that I need you to forgive me and to help me to live differently. And when we do that, Jesus comes into our life and he changes it. So that's what I want you to take away. There's an even better priest than this. And you've been really good. Thank you so much for listening. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to speak to the adults for a minute. Now, you can listen in as well, or you can go and colour for a little bit too if you want. So hopefully everyone kind of got the picture there of what is going on in this passage. So these priests are not doing their job of teaching God's law properly, and God warns them that he's going to punish them. And he's going to punish them not because he's vindictive, but because he wants them to come back into line. He wants them to do their job properly. And I think there are a couple of applications here for us. Firstly, most obviously for us, any of us who are teachers, so if we teach from here, from the pulpit, or if we teach the YPs, or if we teach the kids in Kids Zone, or wherever we teach, there's definitely an application here to be made about that, the responsibility of that. It's a privilege to be able to teach people, but it's also a massive responsibility because you're communicating God's word, God's truth to people. And I suppose the challenge really is, do we come at teaching God's word the way Levi did? Do we fear God in that way? Do we revere him? Do we give him the reverence that is due his name? Are we careful to teach truth and to teach all of it? Are we careful as well that we have this close relationship with God that Levi does? And also, does what we teach help people to turn away from iniquity? Is it evangelistic? Does it say about Jesus and about how he can change our lives? Does it challenge us to live differently? So that's something for those of us who are teachers to take away. But there is also a sense in which every single one of us is a priest as well. So famously in 1 Peter, Peter says about all Christians, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into marvelous light." And in the rest of that passage, and Peter tells us what it looks like for us to be priests, and it's about presenting spiritual sacrifices, and Romans 12 talks about that as well. But what are these spiritual sacrifices? Well, in Peter, it tells us that they're doing good things, spreading Jesus, and doing it all for the glory of God. So doing good, spreading Jesus, doing it all to the glory of God. Now, these priests, they had a role that God had given them, a responsibility that God had given them. But God has given every single one of us a responsibility as well. And sometimes we speak about people who are overseas on the mission field, or about pastors and people who speak on a platform. And we kind of put them on a platform as well, and we make them kind of, I don't know, more important than we are or something. But that's all nonsense, because every single one of us has been given responsibility by God. That's why we've been placed in the places that we live. That's why we have the skills to be able to do the jobs that we do. That's why we have the family that we have. That's why we have the friends that we have. We have a responsibility as well. Paul says that we are ambassadors for Christ in this world. And I think there's a challenge here for us to take these 4 points about Levi and apply them to our lives in every area of our life. Is it clear that we fear God? Do we teach truth by what we do and by what we say? Is it clear that we walk with God? Is that relationship we have with Jesus clear to be seen, not just by what we do, by what we say as well? And finally, are we about turning people away from iniquity and towards Jesus? So that's really the challenge this morning to take away with us. Should we just take a minute to pray, and then we'll sing a few more songs?